Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, on our final Open House for 2012 from Notes Live in Newtown, one of the great additions to the Open House family over these last 18 months has been Lynn Worsley, our resident clinical psychologist and human condition guru. And tonight, our audience at Notes Live gets to meet her in person to wrap up a series of conversations we've had. Please welcome Lynn. Aren't they great?
It's fantastic.
Can I just say this? You never know when you kind of launch into these events whether the audience is going to be responsible. Can I just say you guys have been great?
Yes.
And I'm
really
sure people around Australia and beyond have got the buzz. So thank you so much. Give yourselves a clap.
Yeah.
So the last couple of weeks we've been having a conversation on wisdom.
Yes.
And you're going to take us through just a bit of a recap, but also to the three wise men to get us into the reason for the season. Just your recap. I've just thoroughly enjoyed learning this term over the last couple of weeks, positive deviance.
Yes.
Any positive deviance in the audience tonight? I'm sure you're very wise.
There's a few deviants around it.
That's right. So positive deviance, take us through that
again.
It's
a great term. And it was really coined by the group at Pennsylvania University who run the positive psychology movement. Or really sort of moved it along a lot faster. And what they said was that basically wisdom or wise people have a deviance. You know, they're deviating from the norm. And so in psychology, we always look for the norm, the normal curve. And so we're looking at people who are deviant towards the more positive future.
Yes.
So they make deviant decisions and deviant choices that move us towards positive.
I've understood a new form of the word deviant now.
Yes.
So I think that'll be a good thing to take away
deviant
from our conversations.
Yes.
You've spoken about having insight at the right time for wisdom.
Yes, and I think when you think about someone who's wise, it's not about knowledge, because people who are really smart are often not terribly wise in their choices. And so it's also about having the knowledge of another person and being able to give insight at the right time. So the right insight at the wrong time is still the wrong insight.
Yes.
So there's plenty of times where you see stuff. There's plenty of times where you think, I know exactly what's happening. I've just got to tell them, when actually it's just the wrong time. They're not ready to hear it yet. And so to find the right time is actually that wise person who knows when it's the right time for somebody to hear something and they give the right insight. That's the right insight, the right time.
Wouldn't the world be a better place if we had people like that?
Wouldn't it be just great if we could all do it?
That, yes. There are also two other elements of wisdom, having a felt sense and a self-awareness. How do they tie in?
Okay, a felt sense is something we use in psychology as really understanding what's happening in your own body. So when you're with somebody, to actually pick up how you're feeling in your own body. So it might be that you're feeling irritable or you're anxious or you're feeling annoyed with them. And so to actually just touch base with your own body and have a felt sense of that. And then be able to reflect that as to what might have happened with the interaction with that other person. And that's what we would call psychodynamics. So it's the dynamics that are happening between people.
It requires a lot of honesty, doesn't it?
It requires a lot of honesty and a lot of stopping and thinking about what's happening in you. So, for example, you might feel really angry and irritated with somebody. Maybe you're picking up their anger and their irritation. Maybe you're picking up a reaction to them that they evoke in other people, and that's a very helpful insight to give back to them at the right time.
Yeah.
When they're ready for it.
This is also managing our egos and our own kind of self-awareness?
Well, yes. And if you have a self-awareness, and this is why a felt sense and self-awareness are sort of linked, because if you have a self-awareness, you're understanding what your own buttons are. So you understand what it is that makes you anxious or makes you worried or pushes your buttons. And once you have an awareness of that, you can hopefully put that aside and then start understanding what the other person's felt sense is. Most of the time we react and we just pull away. And if we're able to move to a zone, and I think this is the sign of a very wise person, if they can move to a zone where they've put their own feelings and their own reactions to things to one side and not react to them, that means they're taking their ego out. They're not putting their ego forward to, you know, to be their best friend or have someone in front of them who's going to make them look good. But they actually are able to reach out to another person at the right time when that other person is ready to hear, because they're really in tune with what's happening for that other person.
Doesn't mean that they're a doormat.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. And I always think about, you know, if you're a doormat, you tend to have very much of your own ego on display because you're trying to protect yourself or do what everyone else wants you to do. It's actually really understanding what that other person really needs at that particular time. And sometimes that means being very courageous.
So there's a great deal of self-restraint also involved in all of this.
Yes, and I think we talked a little bit about mindfulness and meditation and moving to a zone where you just stop and reflect and think about what's happening in your own body, in the body of another, and in what might be happening in their life. And that takes a lot of self-restraint.
So, as I said, you're going to be looking at the wise men in the birth narrative of Jesus.
Yeah.
Why and what can we learn from that?
I sort of thought, why do we call them wise men?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I'm not a theologian, I'm a psychologist, so I think, okay, maybe they just sort of knew stuff. And so when you think about it, the wise men were seeking, like they took, I think, 12 months to find Jesus. And they followed a star. So these guys were from a long way away. They had to go out of their lives. They had to walk, travel very slowly to another country because they were seeking something. And they were smart people because they had studied the stars. And they knew that there was more purpose. And I think that the notion of being wise is sometimes to step outside of our own lives and to take a step towards something that is unusual and something different and very courageous, and leaving our lives behind in order to do that sometimes takes a huge amount of courage, but wisdom in knowing that, you know, seeking. And I think Viktor Frankl talks about he's a great psychologist, talks about this man's search for meaning, that we really are here to search for our own meaning. And when we don't do that, we're not very wise. So wisdom is really searching for our own meaning. Why are we here? And these wise men did that.
And it will often involve a tougher option.
A tougher option.
And a harder road.
Yes. I also think, too, the wise men, given that they were completely out of their culture, then they call into the king who gives them a bum steer.
Yes.
And then they're wise enough to say, hey, let's go back the other way and let's not go that way. So that's pretty cluey. And I think for us, what we need to do is, you know, particularly missionaries, people who are going outside of their culture, we have to be very tuned in and key into what really is happening in the culture around us.
You've also more recently learnt this in your own life, haven't you? We have these little chats after and before the program about what you get up to. But
yes,
this is really applying to this, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And I think in my own life, I think I see a lot of people and talk to a lot of people who often say to me, you know, Lynn, why is it always up to me? You know, I've got to do all the stuff. You know, I'm the one that always has to say sorry. I'm the one that always has to get things organized, and it's not fair. Why do I have to do this? And often I just say, well, because you have to, because you do. And it's that sense of gifting. Sometimes we have these strengths and these gifts, and we wouldn't turn people away and say, you know, we wouldn't turn them away and say, oh, you know, I don't want the gifts anymore. But in my own life, I actually learnt this just recently because I've been doing dragon boating. I've just taken up dragon boating. And it's a bit of a challenge. And one of the things with dragon boating is that you start at the back of the boat. And I'm very much at the very back of the boat. And what happens is that you get stronger and fitter and you start to move forward.
Okay.
And the boat. I'm still at the back of the boat, but I manage.
Character building.
Yes, And I managed to do a whole session these days. You know, it's 2-hour sessions, and that's pretty hard work. And so I got out of the boat just recently, this last week, and I said, one of the guys said, "How are you going?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'm doing pretty well. I'm managing not to pull my paddle out. I can do the whole session." And he said, "It's a great thing about dragon boating." He said, "As you get better, you move further forward in the boat." And you think, "Oh, yes." And then you just work harder. So it never gets easier. And I thought,
thanks, chum.
And I thought, that's just what it is with life.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when we learn stuff and when we become wise, we have more knowledge, we have more skills and more strengths. And so therefore we move further forward and we just work harder. But it's not something that we should grumble about. We should actually be thankful that we have the ability to do that. And praise God that we can, and praise God for our skills. So no more whinging.
That's what I call Worsley wisdom. Pretty good, eh? So just wrapping up, 2012 in the human condition, what's on in the Worsley household for Christmas?
Oh, well, the Worsley household, we're all scattering.
Yes.
We've got, you know, a couple going to New York for Christmas. We've got another couple going to Miami. And then there's a small group of us left, and I think we might collect people and have for Christmas.
Oh, nice. Do you usually do that?
We usually have a big table full.
Yeah, yeah.
And, big family. I have a very big family.
Much dragon boating over Christmas?
Well, apparently there's a regatta on the 23rd, and no, I'm not doing it.
What restraint.
They don't want me on the back of the boat.
What wise restraint. But you go surfing, don't you?
Well, yes, and that's the next thing, is that we've got a surfing holiday, and Neil and I will head up the coast, and we'll spend a lot of the time in the surfboards.
I'm so pleased to say that Neil is here, Lynn's husband, to share this final night for 2012. Can you please once more thank Lynn Worsley, our human condition guru?
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lynn.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.